Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin. Wake up!
The Fan, broadcasting live from Peoria, Arizona. It's Padres Fantasy Camp. We do it every year. And it was almost my last this morning. I will explain in a moment. It was almost my last anything and everything. That was a weird, kind of scary thing that just happened a few minutes ago. But we are here. We are live until 10 a.m. your time, 11 a.m. our time here in Arizona. I'm Woodsy. To my left is my co-host and friend, Benjamin R. Higgins. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, Woodsy. Glad you're still among the living today.
Me and you both. We got Paulie Reindl, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine, man.
What's going on?
It was a little bit trippy. We got here early. We had to set up the equipment, and Paulie always does such a dynamite job getting it all set up. We had some issues, as we always do, and we did get it knocked out, and so I went into the cafeteria to grab a little quick bite to eat before it was time to get on the show. And I was sitting down with a couple of buddies in there just chopping it up. And I had my breakfast. I had some eggs. I had some yogurt with some fruit in it. And I had one little turkey sausage patty. And I was eating and talking. And I took a bite of the turkey sausage patty. And I guess I didn't chew it very well. I swallowed early. I didn't spit it out. I swallowed it.
Right.
But it didn't go down. And so I was like, okay, this is a semi-familiar feeling. I'm a grown man. This has happened before. I'll rinse it down with some apple juice. So I rinse. It's not going down.
It's just lodged.
It's lodged in my throat. And so I drink another drink, and I give Alex, our buddy from B&B Appliance. Why B&B Appliance? Simply the best appliances you can buy.
If it cooks, cleans,
or
washes,
they've got it.
I don't know.
They've got it.
They've got it.
So I was sitting next to him, and he looked at me. He goes, "Are you okay?" And I shook my head. I go, "No." And I pointed. Homeboy gets me
the
out of my chair.
Universal symbol for choking.
I'm choking.
I'm choking.
Yeah, or chalking, as a Dodger fan would say. And he comes around. Fully Heimlichs me, and I spit up apple juice and turkey sausage. But he cleared my passage, and it was pretty trippy. It was a very panic-inducing feeling, not being able to breathe and going, nope, that's not going anywhere. That is not going anywhere. But Alex, again, from B&B
is a hero.
B&B Appliance, simply the best appliances. Make sure that if you need to get an oven or a refrigerator, go to B&B Appliance. They'll take
good
picturing
care
of lifesavers, actually.
I was picturing more of a thick, like, link sausage than a like a turkey patty when you described this story to me the first time.
I don't really like the thick links, you know? I don't like how it's, like, in that casing. I like a flat patty. I can cut little pieces. Apparently, the piece
small enough.
Yeah, not small enough. But yeah, dude, that guy saved my life. So thank you to Alex from B&B Appliance.
You like came back around the corner, like out of breath. You're like, you guys are not going to believe this.
Like, this is unbelievable.
I just had the Heimlich done.
We're
like, what?
Ben and Paul are like, oh, all right, sounds good. Having some audio problems.
Yeah, we're not connected. We're having some technical issues. But tell us more.
Tell us more about how you almost died. So that sucked, man. Thank you so much, Alex, from B&B Appliance. I really appreciate it.
If you are joining us on our YouTube stream, you can see that both Paul and Woods decked out in their game gear because they actually are players here at Fantasy Camp. You've been here for a couple of days now, including doubleheader of games yesterday. So you're already in the thick of things.
Oh,
but for anyone who's new and just joining us, this has been a tradition for the last – how many years have you been
there? Number six.
Your sixth Fantasy Camp coming out to Peoria in January. It's only gotten bigger every single year. First year, there was just like two teams.
Yeah,
now
teams.
There are, what, eight teams of Fantasy Campers, Padres fans who come out, spend the entire week here at the Peoria Sports Complex, same place where the Padres hold their spring training. And right now, we're looking right into what is the Padres clubhouse and locker room, the one they'll be using next month to start spring training. But it's filled with Fantasy Campers, all their jerseys lined up, the training staff, the equipment staff, they're all here treating you guys like big leaguers for the week.
Yeah, it's there's nothing like this, man. There's nothing like this ever. And I was we talked about it on the live stream last night. You know, I talked to a couple of guys that had been to some other camps, and, you know, they said it's just not the same. They said this is far and away the best one. And they said and I said, really, man? Like, tell me about it. And he's from Boston, right? And so he goes, I went to the Boston camp, and all these dudes cared about was just getting broads. The whole time, they're on the phone. They're trying to get broads the whole time. And, you know, they'll come out, they'll sign a ball for you, they'll give it back to you. And, you know, he goes, these guys out here, they're actually coaching. And I go, yeah, dude, these guys out here are the best. Like, they're the best, all of them, from everyone we've ever had. He's like, this is crazy. All these guys care about is getting broads, and these dudes are out here.
Did he give you any names? I mean, who's
he did, but I don't want to say
Lou Maloney or who's out there.
I don't want to say them on the air, but but yeah, he did actually give me a couple of names, and he goes, you know, you want to talk about? He's like, what did I pay? $5,000 for an autograph? I was like, yeah, that sucks, dude. Like, these guys are different, man. They'll give you their time. They'll listen to your stories. They'll tell you stories. So hopefully, we'll bring you a few of those stories today. But yeah, man, it's. There's nothing like it. So special.
A little bit of a later start here this morning on the schedule, but we've already seen several alumni rolling in.
Yep.
Andy Ashby's in the house, Arky Sinfrocco, Chris Gomez, Heath Bell, Gary Templeton.
Tempe's here.
I mean, we still got Mark Grant.
Jake Peavy.
Trevor Hoffman. Loretta. I mean, it's going to be a really, really fun week of shows here.
And the stories I've heard already, man, will make your head spin. I mean, Tim Flannery is my coach with Arky.
Are we back?
Okay, I think we may be back here. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I don't know what happened.
A fun start.
But, you know, when you almost die, you have a new perspective on life. And I'm so lucky to be alive, Ben, that where this maybe a week ago would have sent me into a tailspin. Now, I don't even care because I almost just died 10 minutes ago on a piece of turkey sausage. So look at the new.
I'm glad that you've got a new perspective on life.
Yeah, look at the new Zen me.
I like it.
I don't care.
And by the way, I know your inclination is usually to blame the engineer. You just praised Paulie for doing a great job setting this up. He did. You know, we just sometimes get some random technical difficulties when we're out on the road.
Yeah, it's
hopefully we won't have any more, but, you know, you never know.
Well, it took us 8 minutes into our first show, so I'm not extremely optimistic for the rest of the week.
Could be a really, really fun week.
The other what?
But luckily, again, I'm now Zen, and I don't care about minute trivial details like this, right?
Mm.
At all. So we need to go to break now because we do need to stay on clock. But, hey, listen, speaking of having fun, I wanted to tell you guys about Underdog. We're in Arizona, but I don't know what the rules are in Arizona. But I do know, for my Californian sports fans, Underdog is now available to play in California. And that, my friends, is really, really great news. You guys all know how daily fantasy works. I didn't do too well over the weekend. I'm going to just be right up front with you guys. I didn't do too well with my picks over the weekends, which happens, but Underdog is the best place to cash in on all your takes, which players are going to go off, which ones are going to stay ice cold, like many of mine did. With their pick 'em game, you could win up to $1,000, 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and more. Cook up some entries for a shot to win real cash prizes all playoffs long. Only got a couple games left, guys, so make sure you get in there, make sure you get signed up. Got a couple of DMs over the weekend from some friends that are using it, said, you're right, man, this is a blast. Underdog, the best place to play. Pick them, download the app, sign up with promo code Woods, deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. The promo code is Woods. Must be 18 and over, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Well, if you couldn't tell, things can get a little weird during our week out at Fantasy Camp. Welcome back. It is Ben Woods live from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona. Hopefully not as weird as the first segment, with Woods almost dying, needing a Heimlich maneuver from Alex from B&B Appliance, and then us going off the air after like 8 minutes. Yeah. Hopefully it won't be that weird, but I can't really set a menu. The 4 hours is a little more organic when we're out here. We'll be joined by some of the camp counselors, the coaches, who are some of the Padres legends, and they will just be popping by from time to time. So we play things by ear. In and around that, though, of course, we will talk about what's been going on with the Padres and the rest of the world of sports, including last night, sitting at our Airbnb watching your Notre Dame Fighting Irish taking on Ohio State in the national championship game. Looked really ugly for a while, with Notre Dame falling behind 31-7. Made a late run, got within a score, gave you just that glimmer of hope, Woodsy, at the end.
Yeah, I got to give all the credit to Ohio State. They were a juggernaut. Will Howard was incredible. They ran hard, they played hard, they tackled well, they didn't make any mistakes until later in the game, let the Irish back in, but man, they were a juggernaut, straight up, and they're well coached, and Chip Kelly called some of the most beautiful, brilliant plays I'd ever seen. And listen, man, I hated every second of it, but really proud of the resolve. You know, that team, I've said it, they don't quit, and they didn't quit, played to the last whistle. You know, future is pretty bright there, I think, with Coach Freeman at the helm. But yeah, man, it just it was gonna be a tough one anyway. But I just got away at the end.
You did call it. You did call it that Notre Dame going to make some good second half adjustments. They did. Played much better after the break. But Marcus Freeman had such an amazing season. You do have to question a couple of the coaching decisions.
Yeah.
First one was the fake punt,
yep,
which we're watching, and I'm going,
I mean,
it feels like this is going to be a fake here. Yeah. And if I can suss it out watching on television in Arizona, my guess is the Ohio State coaching staff was pretty ready for it, was not successful, did not, you know, they could have gone for it there and maybe helped their cause earlier in the game. And then the field goal attempt down 16 points that ended up being a miss off the upright. I do get the argument that, hey, you may not make both two-point conversions, even if you're coming back, and those 3 points could end up being very valuable. But they were running out of time. They had already successfully converted a fourth down on that drive in the fourth quarter. And it just felt like if you really wanted to come back and win that game, you had to score a touchdown on that drive and get yourself back into it. They came back, scored one later, got the two-point conversion, but it ended up not being enough in the end.
Yeah, he said 9 yards was just too much on fourth down. And you know what? I can see his reasoning, but hey, man, it didn't work out. I think he coached a little scared. I think he coached a little scared for maybe the first time this season. Maybe, and then obviously against NIU. But 14 wins for a program. You hung in there. You lost. What was the final? They lost by 11.
34-23.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, they got that late field goal. pretty valiant effort in the comeback. Had some real chances early. Almost had, it was such a game of almost. They almost punched the ball out. They almost picked off Will Howard. There were a couple that could have, if those go their way, different ball game. I can't be mad at a 14-win season for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in an appearance in the championship game. I just can't. You know, I think any fan of any college football team, no matter who you are, hey, we're going to give you 14 wins this year. That's pretty good.
You sound like you changed your tune a little bit, and I agree. I would probably feel the same way. Yeah. Last week you were saying, we compared it to like when San Diego State made the Final Four.
Yeah, it's
four.
Not the same.
You were like, hey, you got to the Final Four. Anything after this is gravy. They ended up going to the national championship and losing, but you said with Notre Dame football,
they have to win.
Getting there isn't gravy. You have to win it.
And that's my perspective is always super proud, great season. The national perspective will be, oh, they shouldn't have been there. They don't belong there. Yeah. They got boat raced or whatever. And unless they were able to lift that trophy, that's going to be the narrative. So for me personally, bro, I couldn't be more excited for them. And having a coach like that really changes the game for you, I think. So excited to see what they can do, getting some guys from the portal, getting a quarterback that can throw it. You know, that can really, really throw it. And, you know, listen, we're going to lose our DC. Al Golden's going to go to, they're already saying he's going to go to Cincinnati, to be the Cincinnati Bengals, to be the defensive coordinator there. And yeah, you'll lose some guys here and there, but man, Coach Freeman did a great job with this team. I'm very, very proud of him. And it was awesome to watch. He reinvigorated my love for that team, man.
On the other side, it's pretty crazy to think that a month ago, Ryan Day was at least perceived to be on the hot seat after the loss to Michigan, and how Ohio State was able to turn things around, play their best football of the season, three straight games in the playoff, and hoist their first national title in 10 years. You mentioned Chip Kelly. What Ohio State did yesterday, they had four touchdown drives of 75-plus yards. The Fighting Irish had allowed only three such drives all season long.
He was unreal.
Before yesterday. And I do think that it's a reminder of the changes in college football. Chip Kelly left what was going to be a Big Ten program in UCLA as head coach to become the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He took what most people would see as a giant step down, but you can make so much money now with the haves of college football. And even within the top divisions, there's the haves and the have-nots. That the real haves, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, Notre Dame's not even quite maybe there as the real haves of college football. Georgia obviously is.
Ohio State had a $20 million roster.
They are
20 million.
They are on such a different playing field as everybody else. I would be shocked if anyone out of the top, I don't know, eight teams in college football wins another national championship until, you know, there are fundamental reforms to the game of college football.
Sounds eerily similar to another sport that we all love and cherish so much, and we can talk about that next if you like. We can get a guest, whatever you guys want to do.
Paulie will try to find some guests, but obviously we will discuss the fallout of the weekend, Roki Sasaki's decision, which happened obviously after our show on Friday, although we knew on Friday morning that he wasn't coming to the San Diego Padres, and the Dodgers going out and spending even more money, continuing to just blow away the rest of baseball with their finances this offseason. We'll talk about that coming up. Speaking of finances, though, if you are gonna pass away suddenly, you probably
like
won't,
this morning.
You probably won't know when it happens.
I mean,
one bad piece of sausage, and that could be it for you.
You're not. I mean, we joke about it now, but like, I'm so glad I have my will all done.
You want to make sure your, as they say, affairs are in order.
Yes.
And Woodsy, our affairs are now in order thanks to TrustinWill.com. We found out a little more over the break. Neither of us had taken that much time to think about, you know, what would happen if we were gone, but we were shown how simple it can be to either set up a trust or a will to make sure your wishes are known and to avoid potential legal hassles for your family in the event of your untimely demise, via sausage or otherwise.
My untimely demise almost came this morning, and I'm so thankful for Trust and Will. So if you're listening, again, I use humor as a defense mechanism, but my family would have been, all that my wishes would have been known. because of Trust and Will and the work that I did over the Christmas holiday. So what you need to do is secure your assets, protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com. Use the code San Diego, one word, code is San Diego, when you check out. 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com. Use code San Diego at checkout.
Chilly morning here in Arizona, but we're snug and safe inside at the Padres Peoria Sports Complex at Padres Fantasy Camp. Anyone back in San Diego, I know they're dealing with some wildfires up off the 15 freeway. Hope all the Tier 1s are safe and those can get knocked down, because we obviously know how bad that can get. But we're going to continue on here. We'll talk a little bit about what happened this weekend. Roky Sasaki, Tanner Scott to the Dodgers in just a second. But as promised, we're going to have some of the Fantasy Camp coaches joining us throughout the week while we're here. And part of Fantasy Camp, as you guys know, Woods and Paul, is that the rookies, the first-year guys, always get a little bit of hazing.
Yeah.
That's part of it. And I think one of the hazing elements for the first year camp coaches is they got to be the first guest on Ben and Woods. So we've got a new Padres fantasy camp coach. He was a member of the 1996 NL West winning Padres and 1998 National League champion San Diego Padres. Never had a chance to talk to him before, but Chris Gomez is here, the shortstop, with us on 97.3 The Fan. Gomi, can I call you that? It's good
Gomi
to see
or
you.
Go-go?
I prefer Go-Go.
Go-Go, all right. Yeah. Either way.
I heard that yesterday.
Gomi sounds lame.
No offense to any of the Gomis out in the audience, but Go-Go's here. We got to play against your team yesterday. Welcome to Fantasy Camp.
You have to bring that up?
Yeah, I did. We finally got a win. We beat Go-Go's team. Big win. How do you like camp so far?
It's fantastic. Everyone, you know, Padres treat us great. It's great to hear Flannery's stories all morning. I already heard.
Continue. Okay, we're back.
We're back. Audio issues like crazy. Yeah.
The reunions every 5 years with the Padres do that are super fun. And just get-togethers here and there sometimes to remember some of us that have passed on from the team, unfortunately. But it's always a good time. And it's, you know, we may not see each other for a handful of years, but, you know, once we get together, it's just right back into the shenanigans.
Talking to Chris Gomez here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, speaking of stories, I mean, nobody tells a story like a baseball player tells stories, because you're together so much. You know, 162, all these spring training games, all the work you guys have to do. Do you have anything that you could tell us about playing in a World Series at Yankee Stadium? You know, so things that you remember from those days.
I mean, it's the ultimate. Right? I mean, World Series is the ultimate. You think about that as a kid. And then at Yankee Stadium on top of that, right? I just – one thing that I always remember is each level playoffs, there's just more media, right? There's more attention to each level you get to. And then I remember coming out for the workout before game one, and I go up down the tunnel into the dugout. I couldn't even see the field with all the media that was on the field. And, you know, you just know it's a major deal. Being in New York, the opportunity that's there to win a championship.
Yeah.
So you just do everything you can as an athlete and a professional to just try to keep the nerves down.
How hard
right?
is it?
By that point, you get pretty good at it. I mean, because you've been doing it for so long. But it is some work. I remember thinking, when taking the field for the first time after we hit in the top half, I'm like, all right, here we go. Like,
oh my
calm
God.
Down. Like, let's go. And it's on.
It's weird. I feel that way running out on the P1 here for our game later.
It's just electric, man. It's electric. So you just – but at the end of the day, it's baseball. And, you know, you get out there and it's like, all right, it's baseball. But there is definitely some calming of the nerves, which I told our team – not – that specifically, but the calming of the nerves. You guys are going to be excited. You're going to be out in front of these pitches. Do everything you can to calm your nerves. Now it's easier said than done, obviously, because every guy was out in front But
I saw. I was there.
You saw it.
Got a lot of action at short. It was fun.
So they're trying, but it's easier said than done. It takes time to learn it and to be able to apply it to the game.
Yeah.
Chris, you were involved in the turnaround, really, of the Padres. Early 90s were a tough time. And then you came along 1996 trade from the Detroit Tigers along with Jack Flaherty, the Brad Ausmus deal. And that season, obviously, was special. The last weekend, beating the Dodgers, sweeping them, winning the division, and then 2 years later, going to the World Series. We kind of have seen that in the last few years with the Padres as well. 2010s were tough. This has been, you know, three playoff appearances in the last 5 years. What was that like? Going, you know, arriving with the Padres, knowing that it was a franchise that hadn't been to the postseason in a long time, and then taking them there and taking that fan base in 1996 to the playoffs for the first time in over 10 years.
It was for me, that season was night and day. I started with Detroit, and we were one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. Like, we're on that path. So I went from that to right into a pennant race coming to San Diego. Near my home, California, and the enthusiasm behind the team at the time, and going in that clubhouse, the guys are fantastic, treating me great, obviously. The coaching staff, just, it was a great atmosphere for a ball player, the relaxed atmosphere, but intensity on the field, and it was fantastic. And that series in L.A., I mean, I tell people all the time how awesome that was. Even though both teams were going to be in the postseason, we all wanted to win the West, you know, and to do what we did to sweep in LA was pretty fantastic. I just wish we carried that into the playoffs. I don't know if there was a somewhat of a letdown after that. I hope not, but I mean, we're on such a high, and then right away we're in the playoffs, and but 96 was a great learning experience for me personally going into 98.
So yeah.
Going into the postseason, getting that experience, knowing what to expect in 98 was a big help, because it is a different game. The intensity just goes up tenfold.
You know what? And I wonder, too, we're talking to Chris Gomez here at Padres Fantasy Camp. I wonder how the San Diego Padres of 2025 are feeling right now. You know, I mean, great season last season, obviously fell short, had a chance to really, really do something. It didn't work out, and that happens. And going into this offseason, yeah, I'm sure the guys are going to come back ready to get to work and try to win some ball games, but it's got to be a touch daunting even for a professional to look up the road and go, holy smokes, all right, well, they're pretty loaded, you know, and the West in general has made really strong moves. It's going to be a really, really tough division. So from your perspective, you know, if you're coming in here in a few weeks to get ready for camp, are there conversations that are had, or is it like, let's just focus on our thing, focus on business?
That's exactly right. I mean, these guys know they're going to go in here and they're going to control what they can control.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be playing that underdog role, obviously, because of what the Dodgers are doing. And I think that's going to give them an edge. They're going to come in here. They're already a good team. So I think they're going to come in with the right attitude. They're going to be, woes me. They're going to go in there and get after it. Like, I'm sure they will. They're going to have a great season.
Good.
Yeah.
Before you go, Chris, catch us up on your life. A post-playing career, like, what have you been doing? What have you been focusing on? How's it been going?
Coaching high school baseball at Pacifica Christian High School in Newport Beach. Shout out to them. I should be at practice today, but I'm here. So yeah, that's been a lot of fun. So a lot of similarities. We just started a program there, so we're slowly building it. Not slowly, we're building it pretty quickly, but early on, it feels a lot like coaching these guys. a lot of inexperience, not a whole lot of athleticism. So I've been down this road before, so I've experienced. So I think
Have you mastered the boach? Like, run your hand through your head yet? Like, oh,
there's been a lot of boachy stories. No, it's fantastic, but no, it's super fun, man. It's as long as the kids have good attitudes and are enthusiastic about baseball and want to work and want to learn and are respectful and all that stuff, like the guys are here. It's a great experience.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can win all the games in the world. If they're a bunch of turds on the field, it stinks.
I'm going to have you talk to my almost 7-year-old turd at some point. He's probably watching right now.
You got to coach him up, man.
I love you. I'm working on it. I'm working on it, man. Thanks so much. Such a pleasure to meet you. you. I'm glad you're here. I hope you come back. It's we've never had a bad coach here, man. I'm telling you, everybody they bring in has just been great.
Right on, man. I hope they have you back.
Chris Gomez, we'll see you around this week. Appreciate it. We will check traffic. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about some of those moves that Woods alluded to, including more this weekend coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. So, Woods, it's obviously old news by now, but obviously on Friday, Roky Sasaki made his decision, posted on Instagram that he would be choosing the Los Angeles Dodgers as his first Major League Baseball home. Very disappointing news, not just to Padres fans, but it felt like around fan bases in Major League Baseball that no one wanted to hear that on Friday. Like,
yeah.
Please,
Dodger
if it can't be the Padres,
yeah.
make it the Toronto Blue Jays, just not the Dodgers. Again, we've certainly heard some details that have come out over the weekend on the last, you know, the days of the pursuit. The fact that the Padres had told Roky Sasaki's camp they will max out their bonus money, go over $10 million. Didn't want that. Signed with the Dodgers for $6.5 million. So, you know, wasn't about the money, obviously. It never seemed like it was about the money for Roky Sasaki. He just decided that that was the best landing spot for him.
Sure.
And I want to be mad. You know, it's his decision, though, and I can't say that he made the wrong decision for him. Only time will tell what the right decision for Roky Sasaki is. I thought the Padres made a great case as to why he could thrive in San Diego, but ultimately he went with the L.A. Dodgers, and now we're all going to have to deal with that for years to come.
Well, it's like the great Bonnie Raitt once said, I can't make you love me if you don't. You know what I mean? Like, you, hey, here's more money, and no, this is where I want to go, and that's where he went. I think the thing that bugs me the most isn't necessarily, you know, the fact that the Dodgers, the fact that they got Roky Sasaki. It's the fact that now I'm being told in 75,000-word articles why I shouldn't be upset. By Buster Olney, by Ken Rosenthal, they're all telling me, no, no, this is good, and this is why you should sit there and take it, and you don't have a right to be upset. And I don't really like being gaslit by anyone. I feel how I feel, and that's just how it's going to be. You don't need to get on your national platform and tell everybody how great this is for baseball. You just don't. It's funny, we mentioned college football earlier. You got Nick Saban saying that college football needs to change. Now, no one benefited from college football more than Nick Saban used to when he was winning national titles every year. Now it needs to change for Nick Saban. That's weird to me. That's hypocritical to me. I don't like hypocrites, and I don't like being gaslit and being told I can't be upset because the Dodgers are buying players on credit for 10 years down the road. In fact, I can't be upset because they have $1.7 billion in deferred payments, right? I can't. Trevor Plouffe, who I just adore and love his takes, and I'm usually in lockstep with Trevor Plouffe. It's weird. I'll say something on the air, he'll have the same take later, vice versa. It's very strange. I love him. We've had him on the show. He tells his national audience the other day that, hey, you're just going to have to freaking figure it out. And it's like, figure it out? Not everybody gets the chance to figure it out. You know, like a team with a $350 million guaranteed TV deal every year. Again, I said it last night on the stream. You give me $350 million a year, I'll figure it out. Trust me, I will figure it out.
There was certainly talk and rumors that the fix was in with Roky Sasaki. In fact, Major League Baseball went to great lengths to even investigate the process to try to make sure that there wasn't a handshake deal under the table between Sasaki and the Dodgers. They didn't find anything. Of course, when you're committing that sort of infraction, you're not going to leave a trail of breadcrumbs.
Right.
You know, you're going to be very careful to make sure that no one talks out of school. I will say this. We may never know if it was a fait accompli that Roky Sasaki was going to the Dodgers. I do know with 100% certainty the Padres not only thought that they were in it, but from what I have heard from my sources, the Padres really thought they were going to land Roky Sasaki.
Like, they were banking on it.
They were very confident. They put everything they had into the pursuit. They left no stone unturned. They were fully prepared. They have been ready for this for many years. This wasn't, you know, just a flight of fancy. AJ Preller wanted this badly. This really stings for the San Diego Padres. This is something they wanted. This is something Peter Seidler wanted. They pursued and tried their best to do it. But again, they cannot. There are certain things they cannot offer that the Los Angeles Dodgers can offer. And I think ultimately one of them is that in Japan, the Dodgers have become that country's team, essentially,
yeah,
with Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And there are so many fans in Japan who I think wanted Roki Sasaki to pick the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, this is our team. You're going to our team, the Dodgers, in the United States. And ultimately, it's my belief that that, more than anything else, is what may have pushed him over the edge. Just go, I don't want to disappoint my whole country. I'll go to the Dodgers and be where they want me to be.
I mean, it's crazy, too, because you saw the Dallas Keuchel story. He played with Roki Sasaki, and Dallas said, yeah, we've been hearing for a while that a deal's been in place forever. And Major League Baseball is like, nah, it's fine. We looked. I don't know what you will expect us to find. To do an investigation before anything comes out and then to release the findings, you know, essentially the day he signed, fine, whatever. I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist, but I'm pretty sure that's how baseball works, not just for Roki Sasaki. So, hey, it is what it is. He's gone off to the Dodgers. The Tanner Scott one put me over the edge. We're driving around the other day when the Tanner Scott announcement came out. That's the one that went whole. I went, oh, my God, I'm about to go full Joker. You know, just the full, like,
And Tanner Scott deserves a good contract.
Oh, yeah.
He's a dominant reliever, got 4 years, $72 million from the Dodgers. But when you factor in what they're paying in the luxury tax, the Dodgers are essentially paying $35 million a year to have Tanner Scott in their bullpen. And you're telling me there's any other team in baseball that can afford to pay $35 million a year for Tanner Scott? There isn't.
Yeah.
And that's to me why baseball has a problem. There's only one team that can afford to do that.
Yeah.
Not even the Yankees would even think about doing that. $35 million for a relief pitcher. We will come back. Hour number two, Padres Fantasy Camp. We'll have more guests coming by, please. It should be a lot of fun. Stick around. More Ben and Woods on the way. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.